No? There we go. I'm live! Not Saturday night. No. Yeah, I'll share that real fast. I went to the radio station because our grandson's coming over today to preach, to preach early, and I thought I got it and everything, and I start, and about 30 seconds into my message, I have my phone hooked in the mic thing so it can record. I sent him to the radio guy, and he redoes them. And 30 seconds or a minute into it, my phone alarm goes off. I'm like, trying everything I could to get the phone. I cut the recorder and everything off. And so 10 minutes into it, I put my phone back on record. And anyway, Denise said it wasn't too bad. I recovered well. So anyway, that was an early start. Good to be here. I didn't hear any announcements. I didn't know if there was anything we need to announce. Had a good visit with a young man this evening, Michelle's dad, Serapio. That was a good visit. But, Brian texted me, and I was having a ball with my grandson outside, and I said, sure. So I'll be honest, I went down my list and went eeny, meeny, miny, no, I didn't. I went through several of them and finally come up with this, and I didn't have time to just do one from scratch. So I thought about taking one I had started and finish it, but I didn't have time to do that. We'll go with this one and see how it goes out. And it's a blessing to be here, a blessing to share the Word of God. And no water bottles. Do you think you could find them? Oh, my mouth just hit a dry streak. And while she's getting one, I can go ahead, but I'll share this. I preached two funerals in my life, and I did one wedding. And the wedding I did was several years back, and like 10, 15 years ago. And I got started into it, and my mouth got so cottony dry, and I'm just like about glued together trying to finish that wedding without anything to wet my mouth. And I was like, golly, so at the radio station, I always keep one there so I can have something in case I need to. But let's just go to the Lord in prayer first, and then I'll preach some to you tonight. Dear Lord, I thank you for this evening. I thank you for the privilege and the honor to be your ambassador, to share your word, and just what a privilege to be saved and to know we're saved and have security in our salvation. What a privilege to share the words of God, to have it so freely here that we take so for granted. Help us to treasure it and to seek a closer walk with you. And let your Holy Spirit lead this service. Let your Holy Spirit speak through me. And just may each and every soul here and all those out on radio or TV, telephone land, hear what they need to hear. And I thank you in Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. So I'm going to have quite a few verses. So if you want to go along, you can. You may be jumping around like a little rabbit, like I do sometimes when I preach. Ephesians 6. I forget them. I'm a regular mic, so. Thank you. Ephesians 6. I title this, Sam ought to remember, he just asked me, Wiles of the Devil. Wiles of the Devil. And I didn't get to go back and look up the verse because one of the messages I preached in the last few days had, I think it was Chronicles, where these guys were going to get in a big battle with the Hebrews and all this, and they were acting wilily. I don't know if I said that, W-I-L-I-L-Y, wilily. And I looked it up just to make sure. Yeah, they were acting sly. It was my ambassador message, that's what it was. And they were being wilily, and they fooled the Jews. Was it Joshua, I think? I'm drawing a blank now. to thinking they were ambassadors so they wouldn't come out against them and fight them. And so they were being conniving. And it always reminds me in the Bible, the wiles of the devil and wilily and those words about, dumb thing, but about the roadrunner and coyote, and how he's always called wily coyote, and because they are sneaky and wily. And I'll share that little story right off the bat. I heard this supposed to be a true story. This farmer had kept losing chickens, and he went out and he finally caught it. The coyotes would come, and one of them would get their dog and take all the attention, and the dog would go after that one, and the other three or four coyotes would go around the back and get the chickens because they're so wily and sneaky. And that's what the devil is. He does all these things. He's wily, and in reality, he is gets through our flesh, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And our biggest problem is the flesh. So what are his tools? What is the devil's tools? How does he get us? The carne, the flesh. We are our biggest own enemy. You know, our weaknesses are, we think we have to have this, we feel we need that, we desire things, we have all these thoughts. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And he puts all this junk into us, and even our emotions, we just think, well, I have to have that, or I need that. But he gets to us, and he uses the world to get to our flesh. The billboards, the signs, you see it everywhere. There's just trash everywhere. Billboards, magazines in the store, all these things he's doing. He's sneaky and he's conniving and trying to get at us. So Ephesians 6 and most of these verses I'm sure y'all are all very familiar with. I had it open to the right page till I changed. Ephesians 6, verse 11. The Word of God says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Wow. Look what he did to Eve right in the Garden of Eden. Look what the devil uses out in the world to entice this flesh. Well, I need this. I got to have this. I got to have more stuff. I like that word. It's in the Bible. I know I told you that before. Stuff is in the Bible a bunch of times. But we think we have to have all these things. In the wiles of the devil, we need to be able to stand against his wiles. And if we don't have that armor on, we're not going to be able to stand against it. And through the worldly temptations, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Think of the eyes. A lot of people call it eye candy. Look what, if it didn't work, why would there be so many billboards with stuff all over it? Why would there be so many magazine covers with stuff all over it? Why would there be signs, and why would the TV commercials, you know, and when they come out with satellite and cable, well, you won't have, you pay for it, and it won't be no advertisements, no commercials. Fat chance on that. You know, everything's got commercials. Your cell phone, Google, is just selling you. They come up with your own pictures to try to sell you something and get you to buy into it. It'll come up on your screen. Look at, and I'm like, how did you come into my phone and get that picture and whatever they do? But they're trying to entice you with eye candy, through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And that's the way he started in the Garden of Eden, and that's the way the devil is working on us today. We think we have to have all this stuff. But the whole armor of God, that second verse I read, verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Denise and I, we don't watch as many anymore, but we used to watch a lot of Christian videos, christianfilms.com or whatever, on one of the Christian channels when we did have satellite or cable. We don't have it anymore, but they had a lot of good movies on there. But there was one where this young man found these glasses, and he didn't think anything of it, and I just remember pieces of it. But later in the movie, he puts those glasses on, and he sees all the demonic stuff that's behind us, playing with us all the time, enticing our flesh. And I don't know how real the movie is, but I believe there's a lot of reality to that. Spiritual wickedness in high places, yeah. We can't see all the demonic activity around us. We can't see all the devils playing with us. I mean, I told my mom once, years ago before she passed away, that's been 16 years ago now, but before she got saved, I told her once, I said, you know, Jesus cast out devils, and some of the apostles did, out of these people in the Bible. Do you think when Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection, and 40 days later, he was ascended into heaven, that all of a sudden, all the demons just vanished? No. They're working in lost people, and I don't know how much effect they can have on us, but this flesh didn't get saved. You know, and we let all that stuff in our mind, and you wake up in the night and have all these dreams and nightmares, and how much stuff the devil uses to play with us and to get us entrapped in all these things, and how he does that. I mean, the spiritual wickedness in high places, I think that movie's got a lot of reality to it, how the devil is using people and using it. The guy's sister almost died and all these things happened. And I know it was a made-up movie, but when you look at the, in Acts, I've drawn a blank on the chapter now. Well, it was chapter 15 and 16 in Acts, when Paul and Silas were in prison, for what? For casting a devil, a demon, out of a young damsel. I don't know how young she was, but she probably wasn't any older than Megan, just had a birthday. And Sam, you know, a young lady, a young damsel, and she was demonically possessed. And they cast her out, and then they beat them and locked them, not just in prison, in jail, but they put them in the hole. That's where I preach. Well, I hadn't been there in a year, but in the restricted housing unit, in the hole, a little box with a little window, and that's all. I don't know how many hours or minutes they get out a day or a week, but they put them in that hole and in stocks and in chains. Why? Because they cast a devil out of a young girl and they stole the money, or they were causing havoc in town, because we can't have these religious people around here, so lock them up, beat them up and lock them up. And I've heard several preachers talking about that lady. I don't know if lately, I don't know how much of my message I'm going to get into, but talking about, you know, all the apostles, they were imprisoned, and I won't go through all the different ones and things, but for praying, for preaching Jesus out in the street, for holding a sign out in town, for doing these things, they're put in prison for it. And too often we're embarrassed to say the name of Jesus to somebody at the grocery store or the checkout line, or we're too busy, we're too in a hurry at the gas pumps or wherever, on the telephone. But they were all, I mean, lost their lives, persecuted, tortured, told, put in prison, they let you out. We'll let you out, but you can't preach about Jesus. What did they do? Put their tail between their legs and go and hide? No, they preached about Jesus. If they got whipped, okay, well, in the prison, they got out, they preach about Jesus. But the devil is using all kinds of things to fool us, to entice us, to keep us preoccupied with making this big old baby live a little longer, take care of it, pamper it, and that's what the devil uses, this big fleshly baby, to entice us with the demonic stuff, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So we need to put on that whole armor if it means, I've known a couple of people that got rid of their TVs. What good does it do, though, if you go to the library and you sit on the internet all day long? You're just using theirs. But there's a lot to be said for what we put in. That song, Little Eyes, What You See, Be Careful. Little feet, where you go. Little heart, what you trust. And I don't know the song. I, I, actually read a bunch of it on one of my messages recently. But if we're not protecting it, and as grown adults, what, you know, I used to have a brother-in-law that would say, you know, you do as I say, not as I do. I'm sorry, and you all know as well as me, kids learn by what they see, and they see you do, not what you just tell them. If you've taught in school, you really know it's a lot better when you read it and you see it and you actually do it, then you learn it much better. But as adults, if we're putting that trash in, how can we expect our kids to stay pure? Whatever trash, just worldly stuff, entertainment, you know, there's so much to that. The wiles of the devil, I mean, look at this armor. I'm going to reread 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. How many times he says here, the whole armor? He doesn't say just the shoes of the gospel of peace, and if I get some wrong, I'm sorry, or the shield, or the sword, or the word of God. I mean, in the prison, I'll grab my Bible and act like I'm the Darth Vader or whoever those guys are and play like I've got an electronic sword and make noises. But that is our offensive weapon, the word of God. And how are you going to protect against the wiles of the devil without the whole armor? And I just love seeing the little ones interested in tracks and sharing the gospel with people, because that's when they learn. And I was so blessed to have our two little grandkids out the other day with us holding signs. He said, having done all to stand in this evil day. Not sit, not go to sleep, stand. Stand, walk, run, be doing something. You're standing for something. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And if we don't live these out, you can read them and have them memorized, but what are we doing to live them out? How are we living them out? And I hope you didn't mention your dad a while ago, that we had a wonderful visit. We're praying for her dad, Serapio Flores. If I said pronounced it good that way. Verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, like you put new shoes on a horse. What do you call that, a farrier? You know, put some good shoes on with the gospel of peace. I know Brian mentioned it recently. I heard some other preachers mention it about, you know, blessed are the feet. Oh, your stinky feet, my stinky feet. But if we're willing to go out and walk and serve our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, get your feet on. Get your shoes on. 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Wow. I got to ask, is it kind of loud in here? Or is this okay? I feel like I'm reverberating. Quench all the fiery darts of the wicked? Wow. The devil has fiery darts? Well, look at the little damsel. She was demonically possessed. How many other ones in the scriptures, like I told my mom years ago, trying to win her for Jesus, I couldn't save her, but I was trying to be a faithful witness and win souls for Christ. But they didn't all just leave when Jesus ascended back into heaven. And he uses any means he can. I think one of the biggest today is all the 400 or 500 different English Bibles there are that nobody believes they can trust one. And will the real one stand up, right? I mean, are we going to trust it? I'll never forget, that just comes another story. It may be a night of stories with me. You never know what you're going to get, a box of chocolates. But her nephew, Denise's nephew, Harold, 15, 20 years ago, we were out in Delaware because her sister was sick with cancer. She got saved. She's with Jesus now, like Nick. But I asked Harold, I said, he was in his 40s already, I guess, and have you gotten born again? Don't you want to get born again? Don't you want to know where you go when you die? And he says, yeah, but he says, there's hundreds of Bibles out there in English. How can I believe one? They all say different things, and that's what I was sharing the other day. Will the real one stand up? You know, when you take a key verse like, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost, and it's gone. And that was his point. How can I get saved? I don't know which one to read if I can trust it. And I said, well, there's one English Bible that's real, and a whole lot of man's books they're making money on, but the devil uses that. Man's words, he uses anything. It's like I told my mom, the devil doesn't care if he's got you lost. And I'm going to get a little rough here. Pornography, fornication, adultery, sodomy, lying, cheating, stealing, murdering, or the little stuff like lusting after material stuff, or the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, or you're controlled by demonic activity. As long as you're not trusting in Jesus Christ, why would the devil bother a person who's lost? Jesus even talked about that when they tried to say he's of his father, the devil, or something. He said, well, you know, that's totally ludicrous. You would be fighting against your own. Why would the devil fight against his own lost souls if they're not saved? When you get saved, the devil's going to work on you. If you're not doing anything, maybe he's not working on you so hard, because what is he opposing? You know, what are we doing? And the wiles of the devil will take you with any of these things. Verse 17, and this is going way off from what I had. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. You got a helmet on? I used to wear one and rode a motorcycle. You know, I was sure glad Matt had one on when he flipped his, or he'd have lost his face because he raked his full face helmet on the pavement. Nick didn't have one, but the officer said it wouldn't matter. His neck snapped and that wouldn't have had any effect. I'm sorry I'm a little bold on that, but do you have your helmet? We need a helmet. The devil's throwing fiery darts and you don't have your shield or your helmet, your sword or your spirit, the word of God. I'm jumping ahead on that. In verse 17, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I don't grab that one and fling it around, but, you know, is it Darth Vader? You know, are you slicing and cutting? Or are you using it to fight off the devil and his fiery darts? You know, they're out there. I just turned a wrong, a little bit improper turn earlier and got a nice gesture at me. You know, people love to give you a friendly wave once in a while, but that's nothing compared to what people get in other countries. But the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always. We've talked a lot about prayer lately. I've heard some preaching on it. Praying always. You know, whether you're doing your hair or washing the dishes or milking the cow, or you're fixing the car, Trevor, you're doing mechanics, you know, sing or use the word of God and pray while you're doing your daily chores. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That's a word that's gone in a lot of Bibles. And most of your epistles, they start out with the saints at Ephesus, Colossae, and the born-again Christians, the children of God. What are you doing with that sword? Do you have the whole armor or just a piece of it? Or do you just leave it all at home all the time and expect it to work from in the house? That's kind of like osmosis. You expect to learn the book without reading it. You expect to be protected without having the sword of the Spirit or your shield of faith and all the gospel of peace on your shoes, your feet. You know, you're not going to get it by osmosis. I used to kid the kids in class when teaching, you know, you got to read the book. I would make them read out loud and take turns. And we did that at 11th and 12th graders, because otherwise they didn't read it. They just wanted you to think they did. But having all this utensils of our armor on. 1 Peter 5:8, I'm just going to read it. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to chop our heads off, not physically, but spiritually and emotionally, and make us weak and sickly so we can't go out and work for him. He's going about as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. And I could probably spend more time on some of these verses, but I just want to share a few of them with you. In another verse, in 1 John 3:10, he says, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. That's a verse I should have had in my message this morning, are you a child of God or are you a child of the devil? Right there, there's two kinds of children. Children of God and children of the devil. You know, and if we're children of God, why do we too often walk around and act just like the rest of the children of the devil out in the world? And if you're not doing that, you know, take it for what you get out of it. Spit out the bones and take the good meat. But in this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Listen to a preacher preach on love a lot lately about loving the Christians and loving and doing what's right, and how if we're saved, we're supposed to be living this out. Not just saying, okay, I'll go to church Sunday and then put it asleep, put the Bible up and let it sleep the rest of the week. And okay, get the Bible out Sunday morning, dust it off. And, you know, what are we doing with it? In Jude 1:9, he says, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Right? Do you have enough word in here and in here that when things come about, you can come up with the right scriptures to wield the sword? I don't want to sling that around. So do you have enough in your heart? He says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The wiles of the devil, what is a coyote? He's always trying to put dynamite and all this, that, and the other. And if you don't watch, have, you know, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light in my path, how are you going to stay out of the coyotes, the devil's potholes? How are you going to fight against the temptation of the world? Well, I just have to have this. Well, I just need that. We're always putting I at the top of that and say, well, Jesus, what do you want me to do? Well, Jesus, what would you have me to do? What do you think about me purchasing this whatever? Or wasting my time doing this whatever? You know, the coyote, the devil, wants me to be trying to win the race all the time or catch the roadrunner and have a chicken dinner. KFC, Colonel Sanders, I read a little bit about that a while back, and it's pretty amazing how his story went a long way. Revelation 12:19. If you want to turn there, go ahead. I'm going with this. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Well, ever since then, he's been wreaking havoc here on earth. Amen? He started with Eve in the Garden of Eden, and Adam went along with it, and now we're where we are. But think about that. His angels were cast out with him. All these demonic activity didn't just go away when Jesus ascended back into heaven. It's still here. It's in lost people. You know, and the thing is, when we let our flesh chase all these lusts, what is it? Covetousness. There's a verse. I can't think of it now. But when we seek all the material stuff, I just want that. You're coveting. That's probably one of the biggest sins that's unspoken about. Covetousness. We just think we need these things. And we're wanting something that's not ours, and then we'll go in debt trying to get it. Revelation 20:2, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. That hadn't happened yet, but just thinking about that, devil is real. Satan is real. Demonic activity is real. And how does the world get us? The devil uses the world and our flesh and plays us like a big merry-go-round in a game and keeps us chasing all the stuff. This body's going in the dirt. I'm going to die sooner than a lot of us think, and we all are. And why are we spending so much time pacifying this body? And this is not here, there, nor yonder, one of my rabbit trails, but talking about creation and how there could be a fallen world and the big gap when Jesus said in chapter 1 in Genesis, after he created on the sixth day, that's where I was going to say, the sixth day, he said, and he saw it and he said it was what? Very good. Well, how would Adam and Eve been walking around on millions of dead critters and people if there was a dead civilization on their side? That makes no sense to me. Because God said it was, he saw it and it was very good on the sixth day when he got through with that day. But the devil wants to keep us chasing evolution, millions of years. How many things the devil can use to keep us as an inactive Christian or as a complacent Christian or whatever. You know, the more we realize that this flesh is going to be planted and pushing up daisies, the more we can realize we can serve our King of Kings and Lord of Lords more. Because the devil doesn't care. Like I told my mom, whatever it is out in the world that keeps you lost or preoccupied with stuff instead of serving our King, the devil doesn't care. And if you're a lost soul, he sure doesn't care because you're already on his team. Why would he try to give you to Jesus' team? He wants to keep you on his side. In Revelation 20, verse 10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Amen. Wonderful. That hadn't happened yet, right? You know, I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus. But until then, we've got to contend with this flesh, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You know, look at me. Look at me. I see this. I want it. I feel it. I want it. I taste it. I want it. I hear it. I want it. I smell it. I want it. Right? Well, some things smell bad and look bad. But we're always wanting something. And what are we doing with it? What are we doing for our Lord? In Matthew 26, 41, he says, "Watch." Jesus went up before he was crucified, and "watch and pray." Matthew 26, 41. "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." No, temptation is not sin. But once we see it, we smell it, we hear it, we feel it, we want it. And then sin comes real easy after that. And what's that saying? Sin comes into your life and you allow it, and it stays longer than you ever wanted it to, and it takes more than you ever wanted it to take. And I know Brian probably knows it right off the bat, but sin, and it feels good when it starts, but the consequences are all there. The consequences never go away. You have to live with those results the rest of your life, what you did when you were younger. You know, and we all have those things. And what you do when you're older, you have to live with those results. It's a judgment seat of Christ, where it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You know, I can't stress that enough. When we get to the judgment seat of Christ, you know, okay, Alan, oh my gosh. Oh, no, you know, what is he going to see? What is he going to, and we're going to be judged. Okay, no, I'm not going to be judged and say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you," and cast you in the lake of fire. No, I'm not going to go there. But we are going to be judged for our life, how we served our King of Kings and Lord of Lords from X to Z. X, Y, Z, whatever. You get the point. You know, what's that dash on your tombstone going to say? And it's not going to be from my birth 63 years ago till I go to be with him. It's going to be from 24 years ago when I got saved. The rest is fine. You know, yes, I'm still saved. I can't lose it. I'm going to heaven. But what is he going to see? What is he going to judge me on from now to eternity? My eternity started 24 years ago. But what is he going to judge me on? Everything we're doing. How much time we wasted. How much time in front of the boo box, the thief in the living room. What? You know, that devil, he's wily and sneaky. He works on our laziness, our complacency, all these things. And I don't know, this is just all coming out of me. So think of that verse again in Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor, not just one piece of it. The whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He is wily. No, he's not a coyote. He's way worse than that. And we give him a lot more credit probably than we need to sometimes, because we allow this flesh to be enticed by the world that he's playing like a beautiful instrument to get us enticed with all this eye candy, ear candy, smelling, tasting, feeling, and pride of our heart, that we full of pride, you know. In 1 John 2:16, he says, "For all that is in the world," you've heard this already tonight, but here it goes again. "For all that is in the world," how much? All that is in the world, "the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Yes, the world most of the time is talking about the people, but what do the people do? They create all these atomic bombs and pornography and sexual and TV and cell phones that we can be enticed. People sometimes can't even listen to the message or follow in their Bible because they're doing whatever on their cell phones, you know? He uses all this stuff of the world. It's of the world. And the world passeth away. And we'll push up daisies. It's going to pass away. And the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. What's going to happen at that judgment seat of Christ? What are you going to get fed, dear soul? What are you going to be accountable for when you get up there? And that really burns my heart sometimes because I don't want to, you know, that day seems closer and closer all the time, and I don't want to get there that day and he plays that big old movie and all this time I wasted for nothing. That's why my farm looks like heck and my pens are falling down and the cows are getting out today and my shop is a filthy pig pen. It's just what you got to deal with, dear. And because I'd rather be serving my King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's not going to look at how clean my farm looks when I get to heaven. He's not going to look at how clean your house is, not that we should leave him a pig pen. He's not going to look how clean my garage is. He's not going to see if my cow pens are in the best repair. You say, how many people did you tell about me? How many times did you share the gospel? What did you do with your life? This is your life. This was your life. What did you do with it? That's what we're going to be judged with. That gap, not before salvation, but from salvation to when we go to be with Jesus, he's going to look at that whole movie played out. I don't know how it'll exactly be. But he's going to do it. He said, for his appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment, we will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. You know, you've heard all these verses, the hay and the stubble is going to be burnt and this and that and the other. What is he going to want to see? What are you working for? All that is in the world, and it passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Praying always, we read a while ago. Giving thanks in everything. Being thankful no matter how bad things are. Thank God I could get up and go tell somebody something today. I can share, I could walk, and I can talk, and I'm not crippled 3 years ago in my back, and I can still do something for him and serve my King. What are we going to do? The devil, he's using all these concoctions to get us. 2 Corinthians 4:3. And I'll be honest, I didn't read over half this message. I read a bunch of my messages, and I got this, and it was like, okay, that's what I need to share. And 2 Corinthians 4:3, go on. But if our gospel be hid, it should be personal. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, but it should be personal. Remember Brian said that one time, if we're saved, this it should be very personal to us. Jesus Christ lived a sinless life and was crucified, died, and was buried to save me, to save you. And what are you doing with that gospel? Is it personal to you? But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The devil's putting blinders on us all. No, I don't see anybody walking around blinded, do you? But he's doing it with billboards and TVs and cell phones and internet and computers and on and on and on stuff. He's got the world blinded, and if we don't go out and tell them, and if we're not being obedient, the world's going to hell in a handbasket, for lack of, I mean, and he's the wiles of the devil. He keeps us so preoccupied with all this garbage, and he uses that so the gospel won't shine to these people. They've got to hear it. Your professor, kudos, you know. Talk to them. They're not going to hear because you live a good life. Yes, we should live a good life. Whoa, look at that Christian. Look what she's doing. Look what he's doing. Yes, we should be obedient. But they can look and see, oh, look how sweet she is. Look how nice and kind he is. Oh, look at that. But they never hear the word of Jesus. How are they going to know about this Jesus that we've trusted on? How are they going to know about eternal life and salvation, and no man can pluck you out of his hand, and this is eternal life, and he is the resurrection and the life? How are they going to know all this stuff? They're not going to go in, and most of them aren't going to come into church and listen to it. We need to be telling them. The devil is wily. He's using all this stuff to get us to doing the wrong thing. Just a couple more. Learn to say no. Mortify thy members. Crucify the flesh. Just say no. Put them under the blood. These problems. And I'm going to go through some personal sins here, but I've heard a lot of preachers say lately, people think about the major sins, murder, adultery, fornication, sodomy, all this huge, robbing banks, millions of dollars. They look at the ginormous stuff you can see, but they ignore the hidden sins of the heart, jealousy, gossiping, bitterness, they look at the sins of commission. What about the sins of omission? The things we didn't do, what he says in the book of James, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. If we should do something good, how many times a day should we pray? He says pray without ceasing. Have anybody done that? No. So there's a sin. I mean, over and over. And I'm not trying to beat you up, but I am trying to, we all need a good shock. Like a cattle prod, my fence, electric fence for the cows, they don't touch it anymore. That one time, it's kind of weird. The cows touch it one time, and they stay clear of it. But the goats, it's like, and they'll go under, and they got all that thick hair on their back. But the cows, them big old giant things, and they ain't going to touch it. But we need a little shock once in a while, I think, to get us, in track or whatever. But all these sins, the hidden sins of the heart, the sins of omission, the sins of the heart, jealousy, gossiping, bitterness, anger, selfishness, envy, pride, arrogance, covetousness. I missed that one. Covetousness, which is what? Idolatry. You're idolizing stuff. I think some people today are idolizing their children, and they devote their lives and they spoil their kids and whatever. But all these things, the hidden sins, lying, stealing. What about the sins of omission? Again, I already said that. Because in James, he said, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. Put on the whole armor, right? Not part of it, the whole armor. In Colossians 3, 5 through 10, I'll read that and we'll close briefly. Mortify, Colossians 3, 5. Mortify, what does mortify mean? Morte, kill it. Kill it. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. There's what I was just telling you. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Wow. If we're not listening, these things will get a hold of us. There's a preacher again on the news. I didn't read it. I had a man ask me yesterday. I went and got some fuel for my vehicle, tractor, old farm truck. And he asked me about this preacher. If you don't know who it is, whatever. He passed away now, but he supposedly did a bunch of inappropriate things. I don't know what. I said, I don't know if he did it or not. If he's saved, he's in heaven and God's taking care of him. If he wasn't really saved, he's in hell and nobody can do anything about it. I said, what are you doing? It's sad if it's true, but I said, I don't know that it's true. I mean, another preacher I heard recently talking about the elections, they were going out and saying, well, this person and this person and this person, and they were a libertarian. He said, well, he was accused of this. And the preacher said, and you're a libertarian? You're convicting him and tried and convicted him before he's just been, somebody accused him of it? They accuse people of a lot of false stuff. But had he really done it? And if the guy did, again, he passed away, God's going to settle it. But I asked him what he's doing with his life and talked to him about, and he's saved. It sounded like he was truly saved, but I know some good preachers you can listen to. One's at our church and a couple more, and listen to them. And I even invite him here. Maybe he'll come. I don't know. He's in Kennedy, but Mortify your members upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on his children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. We've all done sins. We still do sins. Who prays 24/7 without stopping? Who does everything perfect? Who doesn't have a bad thought? Verse 8, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. How many of us have lied about something, even if it's small? God doesn't say the size. He says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Wow, we're renewed in Jesus. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We're supposed to be living that out. Letting these things become new in us, serving our King, staying away from all this filthy stuff, and seeking the Lord above all else, and praying, seeking him out. And we all need it. This pointing back at me as much as you. Remember, I got six fingers pointing back at me, only two out there. We're all guilty. We need to seek that closer walk. We need to obey him. That devil is out there conniving. Remember, he said the whole armor, not just a piece of it. Put all on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He's lurking, he's out there. He gets to you through your flesh, but he uses the world. The devil uses the world to get in your flesh and entice you. And once then sin comes, it causes a crash, doesn't it? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this, and I pray this message touched someone out there watching on TV or internet or cell phone. I pray it touches folks in here, and I thank you for the privilege to share some of your words. Thank you for this whole church family, and I pray you just grow it and help us to serve you until the rapture, or you call each one of us individually home. Help us to serve our King. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, prayers. Or did you want to come back and do that? I took my hearing aids out and even